What is up, guys? Today's date is May 15th. It is a Tuesday. I'm Steven Masso, and you are listening to Via the Source. Now, it has been a long time since my last podcast, but like I said, I had graduation coming up, and guys, I can officially say that I am a college graduate. I graduated with my bachelor's. I got a degree in communication. Like I said before, I am trying to become a sports, either broadcast slash journalist slash reporter, anything in that field with media, I would love to do. And I just graduated with the degree, so now I'm going to try to get some experience. It was a nerve-wracking just ordeal for me. I was really, really nervous when it was happening. I'm very sad that this part of my life is coming to an end, but I'm also embracing the fact that this is an opportunity for me to go into the real world and see what's out there for me. So I appreciate all the well wishes. I appreciate all the good lucks. Everyone who supported me along the way, I have to thank you guys for that so much, because I know a few of you tune in, especially my friends, family. Thank you guys so much. I'm so happy to be a college graduate. And thank you to my university. I graduated from UTRGV. I still work there as a writer for right now. And it's been a great ride. Thank you guys so much. But yeah, a really interesting thing happened to me in regards to graduation, because as you may know, I am a huge Dolphins fan. So what I did, I put the logo on my hat and I put God's Plan 2018. And I was, you know, just taking a bunch of graduation pictures in my Merino jersey and stuff like that. I posted it on Instagram and I posted it on Twitter. And well, when I posted it on Twitter, it actually got a lot of good reception from Dolphins fans. So Dolphins Twitter, thank you guys so much. A lot of y'all found it. Some people were saying, you know, Dolphins, get this guy to the season opener, which would be crazy. But, you know, I was just happy to be getting that much attention. I was getting a bunch of new followers in Dolphins Twitter, which is something I want so bad. I really want to be a part of this whole community. And I hope you guys like the podcast. If you do tune in, this is something I'm going to try to get more on regularly. And yeah, just the people who are following me, I'd love to get some of those guys on the show as well. A lot of you guys have some great insight and you guys are just really helpful. So it's just the thing I'm really excited about. And now the last thing I'll talk about before I start talking about some NFL news. As you guys may know, I live in South Texas, so I've grown up kind of my whole life thinking I was one of the few Dolphins fans. Well, I found another one. His name is Louis Vera. I interviewed him. He's a writer for 956 Sports. He writes for a lot of other outlets as well. I interviewed him for a class just because he was someone who I kind of aspire to be like. And he's also a Dolphins fan, something that I never even knew, even when we interviewed. So that's such a cool thing. And he offered me an opportunity to go with him to the Texans game. His uncle owns a suite, apparently, and they're going to be there watching the game. So you guys can catch me out in Houston, potentially at a suite. That's going to be so awesome. I'm so excited, and I'm very thankful to him. And he's a guy I also want to have on this show. So if you're listening, thank you very much, man. I appreciate that so much. Me and my dad have been Dolphins fans since I was born. He's been before that. He put me on instantly, and we just watch every game together. So that means a lot, man. I'm very thankful for that. Now, for the NFL news, it's the offseason. There's kind of like absolutely nothing happening, minus Jay Ajayi trashing his mansion, rather. But yeah, aside from that, there's nothing really happening. That was a story released by TMZ. We'll see if there's any repercussions for that. But, you know, I mean, I can see how that happened. They won the Super Bowl. They went crazy. I'm not saying that they should. He's getting sued for it. And, you know, I'm not going to judge him. I'll let the, you know, judicial system do it. And I'm not going to comment on it for now. So, yeah. Aside from that, this is going to be a Miami Dolphins focused podcast. There's not much happening around the NFL, so I figured I would be talking about the Miami Dolphins. And since this guy is under the microscope every minute of every day, I'm going to be talking about Ryan Tannehill and my thoughts on Ryan Tannehill and how I see his outlook for the season. All right, first we have to go over the first, this little triangle, I would say, of perspectives on Ryan Tannehill. There's, of course, the Ryan Tannehill haters. These people, they hate Tannehill. They think he is not a franchise quarterback, that he should not be the starter by any means, and they think we should get rid of him. That's number one. Number two, I would say, are the Tannehill lovers. The Tannehill, you know, they look up to him and they say that he can be elite. He just needs the proper system, and it's going to happen this year with Gase. They say that this is the year he breaks out, and he has not been the problem for Miami's kind of downfall throughout his career, and that this is the year he breaks out. And then there's the third one. Now, the third one's probably the most that's in between. I would call them the Tana realist guys who see Tannehill as kind of like a middle of the pack guy that see him. I don't want to say for what he is because it's still an opinion, but they take everything at face value. They don't think that he could be an Aaron Rodgers, but they think that he could definitely lead the team. I would say they say he's a franchise quarterback, but not a guy that's going to single-handedly push the franchise to a different level, but that he could have a few good seasons. And I would say that I'm probably closest to that area with a little bit of a lean towards the Tana lover, that I think he could be a little bit more than that. But as of right now, I would say I'm more towards the realist. I am by no means a Tana hater, that I think he's just some god-awful quarterback, because there are some terrible quarterbacks, and he's definitely not one of those guys. But do I think he is going to be an Aaron Rodgers? Do I think he could be a Tom Brady, a guy who can make this team, a competitor each year? No, but I just do not think that. And I think if you're thinking that, that's kind of just an optimistic view, which is not a bad thing, but there's just no basis for that other than just being hopeful. But I will say that if the proper team is built around him, then he could be put in a position where he could succeed and play better than what he has. But until then, I would say the safe thing to say and the logical thing to say would say that he's kind of like a middle of the pack guy with some upside. But I see a lot of Dolphins fans kind of trashing any media that say anything negatively about the Dolphins and about Tannehill, which I think you kind of need to pump your brakes on. And I understand that they're talking bad about your team and you're a fan. But the way I look at it, I'm trying to be unbiased and I'm trying to report on facts, that you can't just bash anything. I saw this one tweet and it said, the difference between the Patriots system and the Miami Dolphins system is that Miami signed a 30-some-year-old Danny Amendola and the New England Patriots drafted Braxton Berrios in the late rounds. And that's what the tweet said. And I see that tweet and there's no opinion in that tweet. That's a factual tweet. That's what happened. The difference, you know, between the systems is we drafted an older guy and they picked someone. There's no, this team did the right decision, this team did the bad decision. And I saw a lot of Dolphins Twitter getting very worked up about this tweet. And I just don't understand how you could be mad about this. They're stating facts. That's what happened. One team got an older guy and one team drafted a younger guy. That's just what happened. They're not saying this guy made the right decision, this one guy made the wrong decision. They're saying that that's the difference between these two systems. And I think if you're getting mad at that, you're kind of acknowledging that one system is flawed and the other one's correct. So I just saw that and I just say you need to pump your brakes. At least that's the way I see it. Don't get mad so quickly and kind of, you know, don't bash them for just saying anything bad about the team. I mean, we're not going to finish they're saying 4-12. I really think we get more than 4 wins. I can see being a little angry about that. But to say that we are by any means a Super Bowl contender is kind of an optimistic view, and it's kind of a very, very hot take. So that's why you're not seeing the media do it, because it's a risky thing to say. And there's no basis for it besides being optimistic. So pump your brakes on the media. Don't go completely off on them. And in order for Tannehill to succeed, he's going to have some help from his wide receivers. Now, I'm going to talk a little bit about my outlook on this receiving core and what I expect of them in the 2018 season. I'm going to do this again later as we get closer, but as of right now, this is what I'm thinking. And I don't think too much is going to change from the aspect that Kenny Stills and Devontae Parker are going to be getting the ball a lot. I expect Kenny Stills to kind of get around the same amount of targets, Devontae Parker to hopefully get more targets, because I think a lot is going to hinge on him, and then Jarvis Landry's absurd amount of targets to be split between Jakeem Grant, Albert Wilson, and Danny Amendola. Now, let's talk about Devontae Parker a little bit. Actually, first, let's talk about Kenny Stills a little bit. Kenny Stills, I think, is the most consistent guy on the offense right now. I think Kenny Stills is kind of our go-to, minus that one drop he had 2 years ago against Seattle. He's a consistent player. I think he's going to bring the same thing every single game, and he's a guy that we can rely on every single week. And especially, he has a great chemistry with Tannehill. I think that's something that got overlooked a lot by Jarvis's and Tannehill's connection. And I don't even know if that was necessarily chemistry between them two or manufactured touches, but with Kenny Stills and Tannehill, it seems to be a clear chemistry thing, which is very good. But yeah, now to talk about Devontae Parker, because I think a lot is going to hinge on him. There's going to be some emphasis because there's no receiver like him on the team, except if you go to tight end, then you kind of get a similarity there. But yeah, in terms of receivers, everyone's kind of like this small, speedy slot receiver. But then you have Devontae Parker, who's kind of, I think, I say this all the time, like an AJ Green type build and a style a little bit. Of course, not as good yet, or maybe not ever, but he is definitely... He has that same kind of style as Dez Bryant, these jump ball receivers, and he does make some tremendous acrobatic catches, and I like him in 1v1 situations. I just don't like him on bubble screens, which Miami used him way too often last year. So I think if we can get him in these 1v1 situations, if we can throw him on a deep post, because Miami did not at all go deep across the center of the field. If you look at the guys' route trees, we didn't pass to anyone deep in the center of the field or down the seam. Nothing of that sort. It was a lot of outside passes and a lot of bubble screens. So I think if we could get him just an opportunity against a safety in the center of the field in a jump ball, Devontae Parker could potentially be a breakout guy. But like I said, it's a very risky thing with him. There's a lot of, this is probably his final opportunity, but given that it's on a rookie contract, we're not losing too much. And the upside is just too much to pass up on. He's a first round pick. He makes these amazing catches. People question his work ethic, but his talent is there. And I think as long as he gets jump started, if he has a few good games in a row to start the season, then this could be his breakout year. And do I see that as likely as happening? I say it every year that I think it's his breakout year. So I'm too deep into it. And I say that, yeah, I think this is going to be a good year for him. I'll say that one last time. And if I'm wrong, I'll swallow my words. But I think this is a year that we see over 1,000 yards from Devontae Parker. Now, the other part of the offense, I said Kenny Stills is consistent. I say that Devontae Parker potentially has a good season this year. The other thing is going to be that number three receiver. Is it going to be Amendola? Is it going to be Albert Wilson? Or is it going to be Jakeem Grant? Now, if I had to say what I think it's going to be, unless something crazy happens in the preseason or in the offseason, we see some guy having an amazing story, I assume it will be Danny Amendola just because he's the experienced veteran. We paid him a good chunk of money, and that's what he's going to be here for. But this is my prediction, and this is the thing that I want posted everywhere if it's correct, that I think Albert Wilson takes over the role by the end of the season, and I think he does a very good job at it. I have been watching Albert Wilson highlights, and I am completely in love with this guy. And I think this is in part why Miami was so quick and kind of easy to get away with Landry and not paying him. I think one reason of that is because they saw that Albert Wilson was available, and that's why they made that move so quick. I don't think they saw Amendola and they were like, okay, we're fine with losing Landry. We have Amendola. I don't think that. I don't necessarily think that they were too hyped up about Jakeem Grant to the point where they could let go of Landry. But I think they saw Wilson there and they said, hey, this guy could replace Landry for a fraction of the price. And I think that was a big part because I watch his game. He is so quick. He is so shifty. And he makes some acrobatic catches on the sideline. Just watch his highlights against the game against Denver last season. He had an amazing game, and you could see why Miami would want to go out and get this guy. But I do think Amendola could have an impact, especially in the red zone. I think he's a smart player. I think he can make some good pick plays, things like that. Just really strategic moves. I think he could do well in the red zone or in clutch situations, third downs. I think that's what he's going to be good for. And Jakeem Grant, I love Jakeem Grant. I wish Miami would find a way to kind of get him a more creative role. I don't think he takes over as a number three receiver, but I think he could take over with a more kind of creative role, some out of the backfield. This is the guy that we should be throwing these bubble screens to. If we just give this guy some open space, some reverses, you know, kind of Tavon Austin style, just really creative plays. I hope that Miami can utilize him like Darren Sproles. Like I said, even out of the backfield, just kind of get the ball in his hands. Doesn't necessarily have to be a pass. This guy is so quick, so talented, really, really, truly one of the most elusive players I've ever seen in my lifetime. He's up there with kind of like Dante Hall-esque and Deion Lewis right now. He's just a shifty guy, and once he's in the open field, it's hard to get a hand on him. So I hope Miami can figure it out. But yeah, as of right now, I say Kenny Stills is consistent. Don't expect him to drop off for no reason. Devontae Parker, Like I said, it's a hit or miss. I'm guessing hit on this season, over 1,000 yards. I expect Amendola to have the role at the beginning of the season, him to vulture a few touchdowns in the red zone. From other players, fantasy football players, I don't think Devontae Parker will get the red zone too much. I think that's going to be Amendola's thing. I expect Albert Wilson to take over the role by the end of the season and kind of be a PPR beast for those fantasy football players. And then Jakeem Grant, I pray they find a way to get the ball into his hands. I cannot guarantee that by any means. I don't know how Miami views him, but as from my perspective, I think he's just a guy that needs to be on this team, and I think he should make the roster. So guys, let me know what your opinion is, what you guys think. I'd love to hear your opinion. Again, you can follow me at Shady Steven or at the newly made at Via the Source, either one of those guys. Thank you very much. I'll be back soon. I'm going to have a lot more free time. Comment down below. Please like, share, subscribe, whatever you'd like. Guys, it means a lot. Thank you very much. Until next time, this was Via the Source.